Dear listener, this is the Banner of Truth, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America, with Pastor Ganga filling in for Pastor Overdoon. Today we are looking at Isaiah 53, continuing on our series at verse 10. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. We return to the chapter which describes the suffering and exaltation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This passage contains the gospel in all its fullness, and it is profitable for us to meditate on it. As we do, let us realize these truths are not just facts of history alone, but affect us for time and eternity. Our response to the truths proclaimed here will decide our destiny, whether we will spend eternity in the presence of God or apart from Him. This verse offers some problems. For how could the Lord be pleased to bruise the Son He loves? Some take these words as if they were describing further the sufferings of our Lord. So many take it that not only was He rejected and despised by men, not only was He cut off out of the land of the living, but the hand of the Lord was directly involved in it. Though this truth is taught in the scripture, it is not taught in our text. The reason is that verses 8 and 9 have already dealt with his death and burial. And the word pleased also is the same word as delight, used in such passages as Psalm 1 verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Psalm 40 verse 8, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law is within my heart. So it is hard to believe that Jehovah had any pleasure in inflicting his Son. He was his beloved Son in whom he was well pleased. So what can possibly explain this pleasure in the bruising of his Son? It is best understood if we translate it as the Lord was pleased with his bruised one. What the text is saying is that Jesus suffered by divine appointment. It was for this that he was appointed. Jehovah was entirely satisfied with what he underwent, for by his suffering he vindicated God's law, as well as ransomed many from doom. So what is expressed here is that Jehovah's satisfaction in the work of his Son. The sacrifice the Lord Jesus Christ made was pleasing to God, for by such sacrifice he honored God. He brought glory to God in the highest, and he saved a multitude of guilty sinners to make them the sons of the Most High. He satisfied God's justice in a way that could never be satisfied by the damnation of men to all eternity. For they never, by that means, could exhaust God's wrath. The sacrifice of our Lord was one which gave God pleasure, unlike the ancient sacrifices in which he had no pleasure. For this sacrifice accomplished what the others only typified. This was indeed a sacrifice of a sweet-smelling savor to God. So though men thought Jesus was condemned, in actual fact, that could not have been more wrong. He was not cursed of God, but he was the delight of his Father, as he carried out the work he had been given to do. Men, as they saw him carrying his cross and nailed to it, would have thought God had forsaken him, that he was the object of his greatest displeasure. But it was just the opposite. The Son could not have pleased his Father more than when he hung upon the cross, being obedient to his Father even unto death. This is what he did when he offered himself as a sacrifice for our sins. This is wonderful news for sinners, for it means his sacrifice for sin was accepted by Jehovah, and all who trust in it will enter into his favor. For God will not require payment twice, once from our surety and then from us. This is good news indeed. God was pleased with the offering of his Son. What about you, my hearer? Do you delight in the cross of Christ, where sin was atoned for and justice was fully satisfied? Is it not foolish to be opposed to what God is delighted in? Repent of your folly, for only this sacrifice is saving. If this is not accepted and delighted in, you will have to make atonement for yourself. The scriptures make it clear. We as sinners can never make atonement for sin. So if we will not accept this sacrifice of our Lord, we are undone. The rest of this verse tells us the consequences of this sacrifice, both what followed as a result and what was affected by it. We will examine each of the three phrases in the remaining verse. He shall see his seed. The Lord Jesus Christ was cut off out of the land of the living. It would seem there would be no one who would continue his cause. He would have no successors. It was most unlikely that his disciples would continue, seeing they had not even believed his prediction about his resurrection. But the words of our Lord were fulfilled, which he had spoken during his lifetime. Except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. So it will be that our Lord will have a seed that bear his image and are produced by his Spirit giving them birth. There is one passage in which the Messiah is represented as a father of his followers, and others which describe his followers as his seed. Hebrews 2:13, "And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me." Psalm 22:30, "A seed shall serve him, it shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation." 1 Peter 1:23, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." This seed is not just a few, but many, for we are told that in verse 11, that he will justify many. The text tells us he shall see his seed, for they are produced by his word and spirit. They are continually under his eye, and they are his delight. The next phrase, he shall prolong his days. His new life will be an unending one. Here his life was cut short. He was but 33 when he was put to death. He died once for sin, and now he lives forever as the glorified Savior to die no more. He is the one exalted to God's right hand, never to be cut off again. He has ascended to the throne on high, from which he can never be toppled. What comfort this is to his disciples, who live in a world which threatens their existence. But he who is their Lord is on the throne, and as a result, they are safe. The third phrase, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. What is this pleasure which is spoken about here? Jeremiah, in chapter 9, verse 24, tells us what the pleasure of the Lord is. "But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exerciseth loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." The pleasure of the Lord is the manifestation of the divine glory in the administration of his government, in which are displayed his divine attributes, especially his loving kindness, his judgment and righteousness, where God's honor is preserved and his creatures rendered holy and happy forever. This our Lord accomplishes as he is exalted to the throne of the universe as a result of his work. Matthew 28:18 tells us that after the resurrection, and Jesus came and spake to his disciples, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." As a result of this exaltation, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. His exaltation is not only the result of his suffering, but it is also the means to the accomplishing of the pleasure of the Lord in bringing many sons to glory. So the emphasis is on the future. He shall prosper. This prediction has been fulfilled, and is being fulfilled, and will be fulfilled when he returns in glory for his bride, the church. Think of how the church began, in hostile territory. Yet the Lord, by his Spirit, brought even those who had been responsible for his death. The church has been under attack, and at times it seems it would be no more, only to see it prosper under persecution. Those who oppose it have been written in the dust, but the kingdom of our Lord is prospering still. Praise ascends to him daily from all over the world, as captives of Satan and sin are set free by his power. He will bring multitudes to glory, and they shall be his delight, and he theirs for all eternity. My friend, if Jehovah was pleased with his Son, should not sinners be pleased for whom he made such a costly sacrifice? It is the height of folly to set our wisdom against the Most High. Adam and Eve contradicted the Word of God, and we are still seeing the result as men and women and children are buried daily. Do not despise, my listener, the one who is Jehovah's delight, for he will call you to account for it. This offering, my friend, was an offering for sin, and it fully accomplished its purpose, for God was pleased with it, and fully satisfied with it. It is foolish to look to seek salvation by any other sacrifice. There are many that seek it in ceremonies, many that seek it in the offering of dumb beasts. Others seek it through their own good works. Others even seek it in their tears of repentance. All these ways will never lead to salvation. Only this sacrifice, my dear listener, pleased God. Only this sacrifice proved to be effectual. And if you reject this, there is no more sacrifice for sin. Cast all your hope in the finished work of Jesus Christ, which has satisfied the Father. One who is now exalted to God's right hand, whose cause is prospering. But the question is, will you be one of those willing subjects, or will you be those whom he curses at the end to depart from him into the everlasting fire? Have you, my friends, trusted in this Savior, who is the delight of heaven? If so, how have you conducted yourself as a result? How have you devoted yourself for him? Are you making any sacrifices for his glory? He made a great sacrifice for you. He gave his life and suffered the agonies of hell in order that you may be brought to glory. Do not despise such gift that God offers you today. Do not despise the offers of grace. Heed, flee to him for mercy, and may the blood of Jesus Christ cleanse you from all your sin, that you may find joy everlasting. The Lord performs his purposes by using sinful men and women to bring his word to a lost world. What encouragement it is, if you are a child of God, that you should reach out to others, that they too may hear what God has provided for them in his beloved Son. What love was manifested in the suffering Savior on the cross, that they may not suffer but come to everlasting life. My friend, if you have trusted in Christ and are resting in his perfect sacrifice for sin, then be assured you are destined for holiness and happiness now and forever. Printed copies of this message are available upon request by writing to Banner of Truth, 9698 Epp Drive, Chilliwack, BC, V2P6N6. For more information about the Free Reformed Churches of North America, visit our website at frcna.org. Listen again next time at this same time for the Banner of Truth. Thank you for listening.